Welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host. Today, our guest is scared because she has no script. Bad joke. But my guest today is Kristen Dugan, who is one of the co-owners of the Anchorage Improv group called Scared Scriptless. I'm sure many people in our listening audience have seen them perform many times around. They perform three times a month. They're performing this Saturday, May the 23rd, at the Snow Goose starting at 8 p.m. But I want to welcome my guest today, Kristen Dugan. Welcome to Stage Talk.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, improvisation and Scared Scriptless, it seems like most major cities these days have an improv group. Scared Scriptless has been around for how long?
It's 15 years, actually. This is our 15th anniversary year. The troupe was founded back in 2000 by a gentleman named Jason Martin, who's still pretty active in theater communities for the most part. You may have recognized him if you ever see him. He's a very tall, bald gentleman. He is the founder of the troupe. But the troupe, yeah, since 2000, it started off, they would perform at Side Street Espresso back in the day, and then they've moved slowly. The troupe has progressed into much, much bigger venues and have gone from, you know, one show a quarter to one show a month to two shows a month, now worked up to the three shows a month that we do.
And this is year-round, three shows a month?
It is, yeah, every month. We're even going to do a show the day after Christmas this year. So, yeah, no sleep, no rest for us.
Wow. Yeah. Are there any members of the troupe that are the original members still?
No, actually. Jason took his leave. He's retired from improv, and that's how I ended up being one of the co-owners, is Jason was gracious enough to kind of pass the baton on to myself and another guy named Rich Capitan, who has been in the troupe for over a decade.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you are, they call a co-owner, mm-hmm. So I suppose you're, in a sense, kind of a director of the troupe?
I am, yeah. I've kind of found myself, I've had to make the transition from player to director, which was not as easy as I had hoped, but it's been very, very fulfilling. And it's really kind of challenged me to look at improv in a kind of a different way. I have to put a lot more thought into what I do when I create these shows versus just going out there and playing and letting it all hang out in a comedic way.
That's interesting, because you say going from performer to, and is there actually a director in improv?
Yes and no. We call ourselves artistic directors. However, our troupe, we're all pretty skilled improvisers, and we've been playing together as the current troupe of 11 for almost 2.5 years now. So we kind of look at ourselves as more self-directed. We have created a very collaborative environment where it's not like I'm just sitting there telling them, you be funny now, you do this now. Oh no, it's very collaborative, which is the nature of improv itself.
Well, improv has always existed on that trust between performers. In fact, if you go through the history of improv, go back to the Commedia dell'arte, you find these whole companies of families who've been together for years and handed down their parts for generations. So you got to be really comfortable with each other, don't you?
That's huge. I mean, we spend a lot of our time, we rehearse once a week, and most people say, how do you rehearse? Improv is supposed to be made up. And it is, but we rehearse for ourselves to help develop that camaraderie and the connections that we need. Because if you're not connecting with your scene partner or partners, it really makes for a very disjointed game of improv. If you can kind of start to read each other, you know, I know when I say this, Eric is going to do this. And it's a very exciting thing, because you're feeding each other, and you're helping each other make the performance so much better.
Improv is one of those forms of theater that is, like you say, so selfless or selfishlessness. What am I trying to say? You're always trying to help out your partner.
Yes.
And so you really are giving all the time, aren't you?
Very much. Improv's all about offers and acceptance. The one staple of improv is yes and. You give your scene partner something to work with, they're going to say, yes, I agree with you, and they're going to build upon it. And this yes and principle just makes scenes grow and make the reality even more magical. Because to be perfectly frank, reality is so much funnier than any kind of situation we could make up.
Right. So. And nothing can kill an improv worse than just say, no.
No. Yeah. Hey, Mom, I'm not your mom. Oh, we have nowhere to go. Scene over. Sorry, guys. You know.
And a moment ago, you mentioned, you don't just make it up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think of improvisation as, well, you get on stage and just make it up, because that's what the audience sees.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hard work that goes into this.
There really is. And although what we do inside the form of the games that we play is made up on the spot based from audience suggestion, the structure of the game is very finite. You know, this game is played this way. What we do within that outline changes from week to week, but the structure of the game itself always remains.
You mentioned games.
Mm-hmm.
normally in theater, we talk about scenes, or not theater, but, you know, scenes versus acts and so forth. Mm-hmm. You're talking about games. Describe what is a game in relationship to, say, a scene in a play, or is there a relationship to that?
Oh, there's a big relationship. We simply call them games because what we do is short form, and we switch gears from one scene, if you will, to another via this vehicle called a game. So, for example, we have several games where they're just two-person scenes, and then we throw a little twist on it by adding a little dingy bell, and every time the bell dings, you have to change what you just said, and that becomes the gimmick, if you will, of the scene of the game. It's very multifaceted and very layered, you know.
And it seems to me that even in the short form, you have same kind of scenic structure in that there is conflict, mm-hmm. there is a rising action, there is sometimes even a climax, and then a denouement and a scene itself. When improv really works well, you get to that natural ending of the game, don't you?
Very much so. We always try to find what we call the organic ending, so you don't have to feel like you're forcing the action or forcing the funny. We're not stand-up comedians, thank goodness. So we don't get up there and just say zingy one-liners, because when you do, you've kind of broken the improv in that moment. All great improv scenes are based on the principle of Crow, the four things that you want to establish: character, relationship, objective, and where are you? If you can establish those four things, then you've created a very realistic and wonderful environment with which you can play.
And that's where I see sometimes, not in your group, but where like very, I guess, just amateur people who get into improv who don't know what they're doing, they just get on stage and they won't have those things in mind. They'll expect something to be there that they're not bringing, aren't they?
Right. And that's big. Improv is all about big, bold choices. We, when we do classes or when we have auditions, we're constantly encouraging people, just get out there and make big, bold choices. This is your reality. This is the one time in life where it's all yours to create and play with. And by standing there just being sort of passive or asking a lot of questions, you're not owning that environment and making big character choices. And I think that oftentimes people confuse character choices with funny accents when there's so much more than just getting out there and talking like this. Like, that's great, but where are you going with that?
Exactly right. My guest today is Kristen Dugan, who is the co-owner of Scared Scriptless and a performer and artistic director with the company. They're performing this Saturday, May the 23rd at the Snow Goose starting at 8 p.m. We're talking about her company, Scared Scriptless, as well as just the nature of improv itself. You know, I have some actor friends who are not necessarily improv actors, although they love the idea of improvisation on stage. In fact, it's been said that any moment on stage is essentially improvisation because you have to be open to everything that's going to happen to you on the stage. I imagine that the training you get in an improv troupe as yours really helps actors to take those skills into what we call scripted theater. Do you find that? Do you have any of your actors go into scripted theater and take the skills they learn from your company?
Absolutely. Actually, I would say there's a large number of our scriptless performers who have done scripted shows, you know, through the many, many theater companies that we have in town. And normally the feedback that they get from the directors is, wow, watch him. He really makes big choices, because it's hard for an actor, I think, just to read words on paper if they don't have that ability to kind of figure out what this character is, how they move, how they feel, how they're going to say that one line that can really define the character for the rest of the play for them. I think that every scripted actor should at least dabble in improv, because I really do think it helps kind of free you from the constraints of, oh, I've seen this performance done this way so many times, that must be the right way. Well, no, there's only a few right and wrong things you can do at improv, and they are very, very few, actually.
I've noticed some actors who, one thing that improv has helped them with is just open their awareness to things around them. Because something always happens in a show. A pencil will fall off a desk or something will happen. And if you leave the pencil lying there on the floor, what happens? The audience watches that pencil for the rest of the show.
Pick up the pencil. Why is he? Is that a point? What's going on?
Right, yeah. So what do you like better? Do you like performing, or do you like, and we say directing with In improv is different from directing on the stage. But which do you perform? Which do you like better?
Well, it's funny. 2 months ago, I would have said, oh, I miss performing. But now I've really embraced this sort of, I'm using air quotes, too bad you can't see that, director position. Because I feel like it's given me a chance to kind of stretch a muscle that I have never stretched before. And because we are such a collaborative group, I never have to feel like I have to come down on somebody for a bad choice or something that I personally wouldn't have done on stage. I kind of have to take away, oh, well, I would have done it like this, out of my thought process and just look at it from a very pure, they made a choice, let's see how this choice affects the rest of the game kind of point of view. It's hard to say which one I like better. I like them both. I just love being part of the improv community. And Anchorage Improv is growing, you know, leaps and bounds. Just in the past, you know, 6-7 years that I've been doing it, I've watched the steady progression of interest, not only from an audience point of view, but from people who are reaching out to us who want to take classes or just figure out how they can use the skills that improv can give them in their day-to-day. They don't have any ambitions of being on stage. They just want to become a better public speaker. They just want to not feel so flummoxed when they have to give a presentation at work. And that, to me, is amazing.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I want to ask you about is when things fail, because they often fail in improv. Mm-hmm. And you have to embrace that, don't you?
Yes.
What happens, or what's the process you go through when something is going wrong?
Well, it's funny. Tina Fey, who I think is one of the best improvisers maybe ever, at least the people that I've ever watched do improv, has always stood by the fact that there are no mess-ups. There are only opportunities. And once you sort of take away that feeling of, oh, this is going so wrong, it's not going wrong. You're just having different opportunities presented to you that maybe you weren't expecting. So if you just kind of let yourself go, we always talk about getting out of your own way. Just get out of your own way and let it happen. Let yourself just go with this and see where it takes you. But that's also where the director position kind of comes into play, because I'm standing right there ready to kill those lights. If things are going really off the rails, we'll just kill the scene, make a joke, and move on to the next thing.
Well, that's great, because you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can say, uh-oh, that's bad. Right. Let's go on. And the audience is always with you, aren't they?
That's very true. There's actually a few weeks ago, we were playing a game, and it was not one of our better moments. At the end, I just sat down and I went, you know what, you guys? This is just theater. It's okay. We're just going to move on, and the rest of it's going to be fantastic. And then the audience cheers, and they follow us.
Of course, because it's like watching something which they don't believe is happening anyway. Mm-hmm. It's happening in the moment. And if something fails, well, we all fail together, don't we?
Exactly.
Because they're part of the show, too, aren't they? You ask suggestions from them, and they can often give really bad suggestions.
Yes, they can. But yes, the audience is integral to what we do. I mean, and I'm not going to lie, we've performed for audiences of 5, and we've performed for audiences of 205. Depending on those 5 people, that could have been one of the better shows you've ever done. Mm-hmm. Audience suggestion and influence is huge on what we do. But there are times when people just want to scream out really inappropriate things just for the laughs of their friends. And it's our job to kind of take that, put it aside, and just move on with a show that we want to put out there, not a filthy, dirty show because that guy won't stop yelling that word, you know?
Exactly. So there's a kind of an improvisation with the audience, aren't you? You're listening to their suggestions. Mm-hmm. And you have to, like, oh, that was a great suggestion. How about this one over here?
Right. We have done that, too. But then there's also the third level that we try to look at. You get a suggestion, say your suggestion is chicken. Well, chicken makes me think of farm, which makes me think of Indiana, which makes me think of racing. This is going to be a scene about racing.
Exactly, right. So you're not taking the literal suggestion. You are going along with that. That mm-hmm. sounds wonderful. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation today with Kristen Dugan, who is the co-host and director and performer with Scared Scriptless, performing this Saturday night, May 23rd, at the Snow Goose Theater at 8 p.m. And I would say break a leg, but what do you say to improv actors?
We just say, have a great show.
Have a great show. All right. Well, this is Stage Talk. I'm Steve Hunt, your host. For more information about the show and other shows playing in the area, go to alaskapublic.org, go to Stage Talk, and click on the Stage Talk calendar. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.